sinner, defeated the grave, raised to life. Our God is able. In His name, we overcome. For the Lord, our God is able. God is with us. God is on our side. He will make a way.
If you come to have church or be the church. I'm not saying that critically in any way, shape, or form. But it's a question that has to be asked. Are you here to come to church or to be the church? I think one of the distinguishing factors of that can rise up in, and I want to be fair with this, did you come to simply be ministered to or to minister? It's really a simple thing. Nothing wrong with coming to church to be ministered to. I hope you do. But when you are the church, you come not just to be ministered to, but to minister. Jesus, our Savior, came into this world not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life for many. I don't know about you. I'm hungry for the kind of power that transforms people's lives. I want to see the sick made whole. More than all of our fellowships and more than all the fun that we have, and we are going to continue to have fun because we are the body of Christ and we know how to have fun in Jesus. But even more than that, I would like a reputation to flow from First Assembly, that this is a place where people's lives are touched and changed. That we would see the sick coming in, to have hands laid upon them and faith, prayers of faith prayed over them, and that they would walk out whole. They will, you know, I'm just telling you as your pastor that this is what I'm striving toward. This is what I'm praying toward. This is what I'm hoping for in Christ Jesus. That there would be a power released in here. But see, here's what I know, and the Lord and I talk about this, that it's one thing for me to worship the Lord, have power in my life, and be used of the Lord. It's another thing for us as a body, as a church family, to be used. So not only do I have to have this desire, but it has to be in you. We got to make some decisions going forward as to how we're going to open the doors and let the Lord do what I know he wants to do. And, you know, I'm going to stop or I'm going to meddle. We're in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. We're looking at this book of Acts under the title of the History of Christian Origins. And very specifically, this 10th chapter is this gospel comes to the Gentiles. Last Sunday was part one, God sees and hears. We talked about Cornelius, the Roman centurion, a devout man who prayed and gave gifts to the poor. We will learn a little bit this morning about Simon Peter, a Jewish fisherman who encountered and walked with Jesus and fell away at Jesus' crucifixion, but returned to serve the Lord. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Got up and preached the first sermon in the church. Hallelujah. He, along with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were the leaders of the Jerusalem church. Those boys were Jewish through and through. The Lord Jesus handpicked them, called them out, made them his own. They walked with him. They survived the cross and the tomb. When he ascended into heaven, they stood in Pentecost and accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit to be empowered to take the witness of Jesus to the world. Last Sunday, the message opened with Cornelius. The points where God sees a man. God reaches to man through a vision. And God calls that man to something more. Cornelius was a good man, but he wasn't saved. Cornelius was a devout man, a pious man, but he didn't have salvation in his life. He knew about God. He was reaching to God. But he needed to know God personally through the power of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of those people. A lot of individuals that come and sit among us here, they know about God. They know about Jesus. Many of our young people fit into this category. They're aware because they've been in church, they've been in Sunday school, and they've heard the stories. And, you know, they can tell you the stories. I open up a passage of Scripture, they can practically quote it back to me because they've heard the stories so many times. But they have never personally had an encounter with Jesus in their life. It's what Cornelius needed. And this whole 10th chapter is about the Lord making a provision for a man and really a people group, the Gentiles, the world, that needed Jesus. So it is both a small story and it's a huge story. Because see, you and I are represented by Cornelius and by Simon Peter. Because after we give our hearts to the Lord, then we are in Simon Peter's portion of it. And that's what we're going to study a little bit here this morning. Specifically of how God prepares those who are His to do His work outside the box, the spiritual box that they've created in their lives. We all do it. We create this spiritual box and we put everything spiritual into that spiritual box. And well, if you know God for any amount of time, you know that He does His best work in our lives outside that box. He wants to get a hold of it and tear that box apart. But we'll see what He does. Amen. In Acts chapter 10, verse number 9, we pick up the reading. It says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. In this passage, we see that God uses the natural to teach a supernatural lesson. Incredible, because He does it all the time. God uses the natural to teach the supernatural. Notice how God uses the natural events of hunger. It says that He became hungry. Anybody else there? Anybody getting a little bit hungry? Come on, it's okay. You can participate. Anybody hungry? No? Okay, good. I can preach on for a while. Peter is hungry, and when you're hungry, you want something to eat. Peter was hungry, so he called. I understand that in that day it wasn't quite as easy as in our day where we can throw a package of something into a microwave or put something onto the stove. And it wasn't quite so easy back then. They didn't have refrigerators, so things could not be preserved. So, you know, somebody had to bake some bread. Somebody had to kill an animal. Somebody had to physically go after the food and prepare the food, and whatever they ate was pretty much just eaten at that point in time, or else it was gone. So all those decisions would have added into this, so it could have taken a bit. So in other words, you would probably tell people a little bit in advance, you know, hey, I think I'm getting hungry. You might want to start preparing the food because it could be an hour or 2 hours out before the actual meal would take place. Kind of like that Thanksgiving dinner that you can smell cooking for an eternity before you get to eat it. It takes hours and hours to cook, you know, and then you sit down and in 5 minutes you've made a mess of it. Yeah, just sit there and look at me. You know what I'm talking about. While the meal was being prepared. So it's just like any other day, any other circumstance. At this point in time in Peter's life, everything is just same old, same old. But then it says he fell into a trance. Never underestimate the things that come to your mind in the course of a day. Many miss the direction, teaching of the Holy Spirit because they fail to pay attention to these sessions in the Lord. We're not given a real description of what this trance was. We don't have too much of an idea. I think more than likely we would call it a daydream. Anybody ever daydream? Say, oh my goodness, do I daydream? You know, you're working along or something or other, and you glance outside, and before you know it, you know, you go, whoa, I wonder how much time I just lost on that. Because you were looking outside, and that would be kind of that trance sort of thing. Only this one was brought on by the Lord, because God was going to teach Peter something that would be revolutionary to his life. Now, I want you to know and understand this, that God uses the natural to teach the supernatural. You know, we sometimes think that the heavens are going to roll back and that, you know, God's going to drop one of those scrolls out and tell us to eat it or something like he did Ezekiel. Or, you know, we get lost in the way that he has done it in other people's lives, and we forget that God's current. He will deal with you in a 2014 manner in the midst of your very natural life. When he speaks to you, he will not use thou and thy and shalt, because you don't talk that way. Well, maybe a few of you. You know, we couldn't, some of us can't identify the voice of the Lord unless he was speaking in King James. I'm sorry, folks, but the King James Bible was written in 1611, and there was a lot of gospel before that. I don't mean to hurt anybody on that. Whatever translation rings your bell, but don't get hung up. The reason I say that, don't get hung up, is because God's wanting to speak into your life. And if you're waiting for him to speak in the King's English, you may never hear his voice. Because he will talk the way you talk. He'll speak into your heart and into your mind in the way that you talk and understand today. He uses the natural to teach the supernatural. Peter was hungry. He asked for something to eat. So the Lord used that moment to teach him a life lesson that would revolutionize the church. How incredible is that? American Way magazine said about vision, it says, vision is the Aladdin's lamp of the soul. It is the divine spark that lights the lamp of progress. It is the hand that pushes aside the curtains of night to let the sun rise in. It is vision that guides a log cabin boy to the presidency of the republic. Vision gave wings to man, pulled atomic energy from the sun, subdued the forces of nature, making them the soulless and untiring slaves of those who such power held in bondage since time began. Vision is something that God begins with. God inspired vision. You know, there's so much that has happened in the natural that God has implanted that you and I look over the top of, not realizing that it is the supernatural impartation of God to the generation that we live. I could prove to you, both historically and scientifically, that since the outpouring of the latter rain in 1906, there have been more medical advances in our world than in all history prior to. It's not that man has gotten any smarter. It is that the revelation of God bringing things together as he is moving this world toward its conclusion. I believe personally that many of these things have been instituted of God and brought into being because God wants his word to circle this entire earth. He wants it to be available to whosoever will. You can come up with your reasons for the internet. I believe that's God's reason for the internet. Because this morning, as we sat here in this house, as we are doing this, it is being streamed live all over the world. That's God. You see, we need to understand that God, by his power, by his vision, by his ability, by his wisdom, by his knowledge, is not only affecting just the church, he's affecting the whole world. With the outpouring of the Spirit of God in this latter rain, we are seeing knowledge increase in an overwhelming manner. But what did Jesus say? When my Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. You know, people ask, you know, should we just pray for somebody or should we let them go to the doctor? Go to the doctor. We don't leave doctors out because every bit of knowledge that they have has come from the Lord. You don't believe me? Look at the knowledge that they had prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 100 years ago, you went into a doctor for a headache and they cut you open to let you bleed, because they thought you had too much blood in your body. You needed to get rid of some of the pressure. We've come a long way, baby. And I want you to realize that it's not just because men got an explosion, a great idea, and they've developed that idea, but it is because of God, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit here upon this earth. Now, you can choose to believe that or not. But I believe it's the reality of the day that we're living. We are living in the day of the moving of the Spirit of God over the face of this earth. And with it, this truth and knowledge is pouring in behind it. So once again, Peter is a recipient of a supernatural reality through a natural event in his life. Paul Hovey says, a blind man's world is bounded by the limits of his touch. An ignorant man's world is limited by the limits of his knowledge. A great man's world by the limits of his vision. You see, Peter could have received this vision from the Lord and never made the spiritual application to it. He could have gotten up from it and gone, wow, that was really interesting. I'd never eaten unclean animals before, and well, I just had that, and man, that was interesting how my mind came up with that, and walked away and never benefited. I praise God that he was spiritually sensitive to realize that the Lord was speaking into his life, because everything changed. In Joel 2:28, it says, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men will see visions. This vision was preparation for an encounter waiting to happen. Now note this. The men had already been sent. What does it say? In verse number 7, the angel spoke to him, had gone. Cornelius called two of his servants, a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So on this day, he dispatches the men to go find Simon Peter. The next day, at about lunchtime, Peter receives a word from the Lord to prepare his life for the men who had been sent yesterday. See how timely God is? It's not like that God started in Peter's life a week before and started preparing him along the way, said, I'm going to get him all ready because I'm going to send some guys. No, it wasn't until the guys left Joppa that God spoke into Peter's life and got him prepared to receive the guys that were coming from Joppa. So why is that important to us? Because, you see, God works in a timely manner. And when the Lord's speaking into our lives, when he speaks a vision, puts something before us there where he's wanting to take this natural thing that he's placed upon us and make a supernatural happening out of it, he does it in the moments that he needs it. God knew he could count on Peter. All he needed to do was to have new clarity from the Lord. Now understand this for just a moment. This new clarity from the Lord was a misconception that he had of what God expected and anticipated. He was of the mind, because he had been taught his entire life that you don't eat pork, you don't eat for, you know, certain types of animals, you don't eat the owl and all this kind of business, because those were unclean animals. God told them in the law they're not to eat those things. He did it for their protection. He did it to help guide them into the path that he was leading them. And Peter was raised that way. That's all that he knew. But you see, it wasn't going to work anymore, because God was outside the box. And the need that existed in the world was outside the box. So just one day at lunchtime, God decides to mess with Peter. God ever mess with you? Huh? God was using the vision to take Peter outside the box. God needed to break Peter's box wide open so he could use him. Look at verse 13. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. He said, well, you know, sure, I understand. He didn't. Peter didn't. This is all a daydream. This is all just a trance. This is all something that is foreign. It's like, you know, God has just put before him something impossible. He had never eaten animals like that. And all of a sudden, he gets this inside of him, this springing up, if you will, that says, don't call anything impure that God has called pure. See, that's the real lesson there. It wasn't about eating animals or not eating animals. The real lesson was, don't call anything impure that God has called pure. And so then Peter sat there and it was messing with him. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision. That's the next verse. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Here's where the vision now becomes a reality. Every vision that comes from God will ultimately become a reality. Hello? I should say, a possibility of being a reality. This wasn't unusual for Peter. I mean, the part of God breaking open the box. You, if you're going to walk with the Lord, you need to get accustomed to God messing with you. He does. Because, see, he is taking the natural, trying to make something supernatural. Some people won't let him do it. It's like, no, 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 I'm going to stay. I get to make the decisions here. I'm in control. I'm in control. That's fine. You can do that. But then you will never experience the supernatural in your life. Never going to break free. I'm never going to be anything except my personality, and I'm never going to go outside the bounds of what I'm comfortable with. Okay. But don't expect to see God do incredible supernatural things in your life, because you've got to be willing for God to break down the barriers, because he will always come to us and expect of us to be outside the box that we've created. Sorry, but it's true. You see, the Lord had already blown Peter's mind several times up to this point in time. He thought Jesus would become the king of Israel and overthrow the Roman government. Blew that box open. He did not think that Jesus would be crucified. Blew that box open. He never expected Jesus to leave them behind and to go into heaven. You know, they're all standing there looking up. The angel of the Lord said, why stand you gazing into heaven? We're all standing there. Whoa, didn't expect that one. Huh? He never expected the rush of a mighty wind and the power of Pentecost to so revolutionize his life and the church. He went from a bumbling fool that always had his foot in his mouth to becoming the spokesman for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. Doesn't it just a little bit make you wonder what God wants to do with you? Just a little bit of what he might want to do in your life if you'll let him just burst and bust open and explode the box that you live in and that you've got him in? When the vision becomes a reality, first of all, you got to recognize that the Lord has a vision. Are you waiting? Are you listening? Are you hoping? If he needs somebody to go somewhere and to do something spectacular, can he count on calling you knowing that you'll be listening? What an opportunity. The men sent from Cornelius found the house where Peter was staying. They stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. I love it when God's plan starts coming together. Woo! I love it. Sorry, that may have hurt. It's incredible. If you've never experienced it, you've got something to look forward to. It's incredible. You know, when the Lord starts you down a trail, you really don't know exactly where the trail's going to lead. All you know that he's got you on a trail. You know, Peter's sitting there. He realizes, okay, God's messing with me. He's done it before. He's messing with me. Something's going to happen. I just know that something's going to happen. And all of a sudden then, boom, it starts unfolding. And he's going, wow, ooh, what's going to happen here? This has got to be good because God's involved with it. This is going to be exciting because God's doing something. Now listen to this. God calls his servant to something more. Look at verse number 19. While Peter was still thinking about the vision. Okay, now stop here. See, we're right there at the natural. He's still sitting there pondering this vision. What in the world is this all about? What am I supposed to do with this? The Spirit said to him. Now, see, when God's ready for you to move, he will tell you exactly where you need to go. He won't tell you more than you need to know. He'll tell you what you need to know. He said to Peter, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Now, don't you know that in that moment, Peter probably had a couple more questions? Where are we going? Where are we going to go? What do you want me to say when we get there? If I don't know these guys, how can I trust them? It's a dangerous world out there, God. Don't you know that? You can't just expect me to just pick up. You know, I'm a guest here at Simon the Tanner's house here in Joppa. You can't just expect me to just pick up and take off with them. I need to make arrangements. I need to let them know back in Jerusalem. I got a wife. I got to let her know where I'm heading. It's going to take a few days for me to get a letter off to her so that she can know where I'm going. And who knows where I'm going? We got to get some facts straight here. I can't just be up and moving like this. I like the next thing. I love obedience. Not so much on my part, but from others. You know what I mean. Peter went down. Said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for, and why have you come? The men replied, "We've come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." And then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guests. That means he invited them into this Jewish home, these wretched Gentile men who would defile the house. And by the way, it wasn't his home. Which meant that he, as a guest in Simon the Tanner's home, would have brought these men in under the covering of his own life. He would have said to Simon, "Welcome them in, wash their feet, take care of their needs, feed them. They're going to spend the night here because they are under my covering. They're with me." And he didn't know them. But you see, he allowed God to begin to break open things in his life. Now, you and I cannot even fathom today, not even one little bit, what a huge thing this was in Peter's life. Because of the oppression of the Roman government, the hatred, the despising that the Israelis or the Jewish people had for the Gentiles had exploded. Because the Roman government was very oppressive to the Jewish people. They were concerned about them all the time. We can see that in Herod the Great when he heard that Jesus or a baby king was being born in Bethlehem. And so he had all the babies killed from age 2 and under. Because he was concerned about them getting a king over the top of them because he had seen what, and he knew history of what they had done to Egypt and to other nations. There was an animosity that existed between the Jews and the Roman that went deep, deep, deep. The Roman soldier could say to a Jewish person, "Here, carry my pack and all my stuff," and he had to carry them for a mile. That Jewish man had to carry it for a mile. And so they had been oppressed by these Gentiles. And now the Lord, over lunch, says to Peter, "Things are going to be different now, Pete. Get yourself ready because I'm going to do a new thing with you." While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said, "Peter went down." The men replied, "God was ready to tear down the sides of Peter's spiritual box." But the first thing that Peter had to do was to listen. We're going to learn next week. We're going to go take the third and last portion of this, which is powerful, where Peter goes with them to visit Cornelius' house, and we see the miracles of God. But none of that could take place unless these two men were willing to listen to God. First of all, you've got Cornelius, who was hungry for the Lord. And God brought a visitation, an angel, to tell him how he could hear the truth. And so he moved on that. God needed a man to tell the words of truth. And so he called out to Peter through a vision, through a trance, opening up, busting open the box so that Peter would be willing to receive those men and then to go with them to Cornelius' house. There's an old song that says, "I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name." See, this is the life of a believer. You know, you may have come into this whole Christianity thing just for the salvation from hell. And that's not a bad beginning point. But the reality of this life is that God is ready to take up your life and to do incredible things with it. To move you from the natural to the supernatural. Some of you are wooing over the dullness of your life. And you're trying to figure out something in this life to make it more exciting. And you're experimenting with all of the stuff of this world, thinking that out of all the stuff of this world, that you will be able to find something that will give you the wow that you're looking for and take you out of the doldrums of getting up every day and going to work and coming home exhausted at the end of the day and falling in front of a television set and waiting a few hours and then going to sleep and getting up the next day and doing it all over again. And you're saying, I've got to find something that will break me free. Maybe I'll buy a boat. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. But God has made a provision. It's called the real Christian life. The real Christian life, He will come and He will bust open everything and anything that you have ever conceived of before in your life, and He will do incredible things. God is getting ready to do something incredible with Peter. But something different than he'd ever done before. As a matter of fact, and I can't go down this road too far, but I'm going to a little bit. You know, a Gentile woman from Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and wanted to hear about the truth. And Jesus said, I can't. He said, I'm on schedule. I've got to go to the household of faith. I've been sent to the household of faith. And that little woman persisted. You know, I'll not go to the whole story, but the little woman persisted. You know, he said, how can I take the bread from the children and give it to dogs? And she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from under the table. That hunger of her heart reached out, and faith came rushing into her. A Gentile woman. So Peter saw that. He saw that, and yet at the same time, he also knew the dynamics of that hour, that there was still this incredible distance between Jew and Gentile. And on one single day, at lunchtime, God was going to break down that wall. And a Jewish fisherman was getting ready to take the gospel message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and under the purpose of God to the Gentile world. Oh my goodness, what does God want to do with you in 2014? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen for Him to call your name? I used this illustration some time ago, but it came back to me in this moment, and I feel like that maybe somebody knew, or maybe you don't remember it. Back in the day when information was transmitted by the telegraph, a job was advertised for a Morse code operator. Upon answering the ad, a young man arrived in the noisy lobby to see a sign which said, fill out the paper, give it to the receptionist, and have a seat. You will be called for an interview. The young man completed the form and took a seat with several others waiting to be interviewed. And suddenly, the young man stood up, walked across the room, through the door leading to the inner office. The other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on and why had this man been so bold. They sat waiting for him to be ejected from the office and reprimanded for his presumption and disqualified for the position. And within a few minutes, the young man emerged from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer, who announced to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man. The other applicants began grumbling. Then one spoke up saying, now wait a minute. I don't understand something. He was the last to arrive, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair. The employer said, I'm sorry, but the whole time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you can understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This man did, so the job is his. I'll be somewhere listening. Somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. You know, in a day that we're living with so much trouble, so much anguish, so much sorrow, so much pain in the world that we're living, you would think that we as believers would be doing everything we could to hear the voice of the Lord, to be dispatched wherever He needs us, at whatever moment He needs us. Because it's such an hour as this. I believe just as the church was starting and we study it there in the book of Acts, you and I are standing on the precipice of the revelation of the church into the presence of the Lord. There's a brand new movie out. Maybe some of you have already seen it, that is talking about the rapture of the church. What's the title? Left Behind. Many, many people that you're friends with and things, they'll go to the theater and they're going to see it and they're going to be sitting with questions. I believe that the Lord is going to want to do for them what He did for Cornelius. He's going to want to send to them, maybe some of them are your relatives or your friends or your co-workers. He's going to be looking for a man, a woman, a young person that He can send that can tell them about Jesus. Are you listening? He's going to use the natural to show you into and usher you into the supernatural. He's not going to tell you all the pieces. He'll tell you what you need to know as you need to know it. And generally speaking, it's going to be outside the box of your comfort zone. But my friends, if you're willing, the Lord will use you incredible ways in the days to come like you've never seen or been used before. He said, but oh, Pastor, I've been at this thing for 30 years, 40 years. You've not seen anything yet. In the last days, He said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. His Spirit is moving. God is working. God is wanting to do incredible things. Are you listening? Maybe you're a Cornelius in here. You've never really met Jesus. You've heard about Him. You know about spiritual things, but you have never bowed your knee and said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and be the Lord and Master of my life from this day forward. I invite you this morning to respond as Cornelius responded. Or perhaps you are a believer in this house and you've had this whole spiritual thing all boxed up, but you're ready for God to break down the box and to use you in incredible ways in the days to come.